The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hi, Dr. Ray. I love your show.
Let me show you what it looks like to be a holy person, and maybe you'll want to be holy like me.
You just patted yourself on the back.
You seem like an honest guy.
But you're a psychologist. Do you have some advice?
I don't know. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
You're my second favorite Italian person.
I think you have a way of making people feel relaxed.
She needs to feel the consequences of being a jerk.
You know, I was looking for a deeper answer.
Obviously, I'm a failure. Obviously, I'm inept. Yes.
You are awesome. Keep up the good fight, my friend.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Curiosity got the best of me. I asked that guy. We figured out where he was calling from. The guy that said I'm his second favorite Italian. I couldn't control myself anymore. I said, who's your first? He said, Mussolini. So I don't know if I should take that as a compliment, Andrew. Not really sure on that. Good to have you with me here on The Doctor Is In. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. I'm probably, well, no, I can't say this because I'm in training for the Humility Award. I was going to say I'm probably my favorite Italian, but I can't say that. That's a little over the top. However, you are my favorite callers. The program here, as always, is a call-in program. With you being the guests, well, you function in a bit of a dual capacity. You're the guests. You're the callers. You are the folks who make the show run. Oh, yeah, yeah. I could talk without you for an hour, but I sure would rather talk with you. 877-573-7825. 877-57-equal. That's the number to call. To get onto the program, to ask questions, to make comments, to help others, to whatever you wish to say that would be involved in living better. I'm a psychologist. I mean, if you boil it down, that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to help people live better. And of course, every psychologist has a worldview, whether they admit it or not. And if they say they have no worldview, then that's their worldview. I have no worldview. There's your worldview. Here on the program, we do what we can to help you live better within your faith, to deal with people who are difficult, kids who are difficult, scrutinize ourselves. That's really the part that nobody wants, to look at ourselves. It's unpleasant, it's hard, it's difficult, and that's why people avoid confession in a lot of respects. I'm convinced of it as a shrink. I don't want to have to go in there and say what I did wrong. And the priests are very patient because they've heard it all. A little bit like a psychologist. When my clients say to me, oh, you're going to think I'm terrible when I tell you this. And I want to look at them and say, after they tell me, yeah, 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 that's only the 723rd time I've heard somebody tell me that one. So, 877-573-7825. Number to call. Get onto the program. Ask questions about life and stuff. Couple of announcements before I go into my inside baseball monologue. Good Lord permitting, I will be, and this is an announcement locally for the Living Bread Radio people and The Rock up in Cleveland, I will be at Holy Family Parish in Stowe tonight, Stowe, Ohio, 6:30. Good Lord permitting, my wife and I are heading up there, going to do a talk. And then Friday night, I'm heading to St. Bernard's in Rochester, New York. We have an affiliate in Rochester. And then the next day, the Diocese of Rochester will have the men's conference. So if you want details on that, just go to my website, drray.com, and the contact numbers are there for the folks if you want to get any details. Or you just head over to Holy Family or St. Bernard's if you're in Rochester, and you can find out from there, if you're a guy, where the conference is being held. I really don't know where it's being held. I'm just going to assume that once I get there Friday night, they'll tell me. It's kind of the way I operate. That's not until the day after tomorrow. When I was originally asked to be on Catholic radio, and it was a while back when I was asked, I think the guy's name who asked me was a fella, Italian fella, named Marconi. I peremptorily said, no, no, no. And the reason I said no was I was pretty much locked into the direction of my profession. I saw clients. I did some consulting work to agencies. And a heavy amount of public speaking. Very heavy amount. Maybe 100 to 140 times a year I spoke. To a panoply of groups. About a third were school related. School in services, school districts, special education, teachers, principal associations, school boards. About a third were religious, but they weren't necessarily Catholic. Mainline churches, a lot of evangelical, non-denominational requests. And then a third were just pretty much everything else. Hospitals, Kiwanis associations, dental auxiliaries, you name it. It was a broad, broad base. This was from about 1990 to 2005, 2008. Yeah, when I started in 1990, I just graduated from high school. I got that. Anyway, that's how I made a living. And it was a very comfortable, easygoing living. I was self-employed. I could pick and choose where I wanted to go, if I wanted to go. Then some things changed. Little inside baseball on the speaking world. First of all, I know a lot of speakers who did this who no longer speak. They can't make it. There are not enough requests for their presentations. Given that, why is this? I think there are several factors. One, money. The school districts are really tightening up on the money. So they don't necessarily bring in an outside in-service speaker. Gosh, sometimes I used to do 20 of those a year, speaking at various in-services, sometimes two and three a day, especially in late August when the schools were coming back. Second, technology. You can get anything you want on YouTube. You can listen to 6 billion TED Talks. You can listen to anything you want. You can go to Formed and listen to wonderful presentations on the faith. Third reason, and this is something most people don't think about, we're not as community-oriented. We don't belong to groups like we used to. I used to do elementary schools and preschools that had 60, 70, 80, 90 members. Now they have 6. We just don't belong to societal groups at the rate and the frequency that we once did, even 20 years ago. Now, all that said, there's been a radical shift in the speaking world for me. That's been because of the internet. Prior to the internet, people either got a hold of me privately through word of mouth, was probably the main thing, or speakers associations. That's how they did it. And I spoke to about 60, 70, 80% secular groups. I was back in the church, and I had the same faith worldview that I do now, but it's okay because I didn't directly speak religious language in the talks. Yeah, they were parent empowering, they were teacher empowering, they were talks that were same level of humor, same message, basically, but I just didn't have some of the allusions to Christ or his church. And even now, those allusions are 5 to 10% of the talk. The internet. You go to the website, it's very clear. I'm associated with EWTN. I'm associated with Ave Maria. The clips from the TV shows or the radio shows are Global Catholic Radio Networks. So what happens? The secular groups won't touch me. It's dried up. However, every once in a great while, somebody will call and they don't have the fear that I'm going to venture into the religious stuff. Not too long ago, I had a school district call me that I had spoken to in the past, 2 or 3 times, to their parents. And as a matter of fact, The people who called me were quite familiar with EWTN. They were quite familiar with my association. So, great. Yeah, glad to come back. It's been several years. Happy to come back. I got a call from their superintendent 2 weeks before the engagement. We've gotten calls from, we've gotten calls from a couple of parents that were concerned about you. How's that? Well, they have concerns about your moral stands. And I said, how would they know about my moral stands? Well, we see that you're associated with the Catholic world. Yes. Yes, I am. And so we just thought, so how many calls did you get? Well, there was a couple. That's it? And so you're essentially saying we're going to cancel the talk? Well, at this point, we really don't feel we need to take on the controversy. What a bogus bunch of baloney. And interestingly enough, I think this kind of says some more about this. Never have I ever, ever told a group or a client that if you don't show or you cancel at the last minute, you owe me. I've never done that. I will not do that. If that happens, it happens. That's the way it is. I said to them, so you're essentially stopping this because I'm Catholic. Well, I don't know if it's that. I think that, you know, we just, there's it's a complicated, you know, they were tap dancing all over the place what they were doing. So I said, okay, well, I don't normally do this, but I think that you cancel at the last minute like this. I'd like to have at least half my fee, please. You think I got it? Of course not. Of course not. These are folks who are going to say, because you're religious, we don't want any part of you. Oh, but by the way, we realize what we did is we took one of your speaking nights and we kept it on the books until the very last minute. But we're not going to reimburse you at all for that. And I thought to myself, that tells me all I need to know. And if ever in the future that group would ever call me again, I would not at all be available. That's all. Just a little inside baseball on what happens when we're in a culture that essentially says, hey, you know, you believe in certain morality we don't approve of here, and you're not allowed to believe in that. You have to believe and think the way we think. And we better not smell that there's any implication that you could possibly believe that way. 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL. That's the number to call to get onto the program. I'm Dr. Ray. Thanks.
Ever since I started working, every single day of my life has been worse than the day before it. So that means that every single day that you see me, that's on the worst day of my life.
What would you do?
Call now for great advice from Dr. Ray.
Now, don't you feel better?
Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at SolidarityHealthShare.org or at 844-313-4999.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. The Catholic faith has enemies. We're Catholics. We have enemies. They are a danger to the faith. And yet we're called to defend the faith, to instruct the ignorant, and to love our enemies. These enemies abuse divine revelation. They abuse science and religion. They abuse our history and our past. They abuse power and wealth. We have to learn how to deal with our enemies by picking up a copy of my book, Dangers to the Faith. You can find it online at AveMariaRadio.net.
I would always hear from different people at non-Catholic churches that Catholics were going to hell or that they really didn't know who the Lord was. The Catholic Church is not all what people say it is. I mean, it's completely different. There's so many stereotypes. It's very possible to know the Lord, and it's very possible to have a relationship with God. in the Catholic Church. I believe I was born into the Catholic Church, and that's where I belong.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church, visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Dr. Ray Garandi here. Thank you so much for joining me on The Doctor Is In. Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Standard. Wait, I can't say Eastern Standard. Somebody told me that was just Eastern Time. No longer EST. Here on the Global Catholic Radio Network, EWTN, and Ave Maria Radio conjoining their broadcast experience and excellence to put together this program and send it out. Chrissy from South Point, Ohio, St. Gabriel Radio. Hi, Chrissy.
Hello, Dr. I. How are you?
Hey, thank you for the call. Why do you sound like you're from down south?
Well, it's Southern Ohio. I'm in Appalachia.
Well, it does say South Point, so that could be, right?
Yeah, the most southern point of Ohio.
There you go. Way down, all the way down. In other words, if I go down Route 23, all the way to the river.
You're right, into Portsmouth, and we're still another half hour to the east.
Whoa, you are down there. You are down there in the hills.
Yes.
How can we help you there, dear? You got yourself in a sticky situation.
Yes. Back on Labor Day, we took biologically my nieces and nephews, but we raised their mother since she was like 12. So we considered her our own kid. She's been married twice. She has 5 kids, which is a blessing because we love each and every one of them. But she makes stupid mistakes after stupid mistakes. And then she gets mad at us when we don't agree to what she's doing. Now recently she was engaged or has been engaged to a man who has molestation charges against him. Well, actually, he has the background. He's been to prison. And he did not comply, so now guess where he's at? He's back in prison for noncompliance. Well, this past weekend, while we're sitting at our grandkids' ball game, she was joking about some guy hitting on her, and I said, well, you don't have to worry. I said, you're not married. She says, what do you mean? And she flips me her wedding band. She went and got married to this guy while he's behind bars. We're worried about those kids.
Well, as you should be.
Yes. So we don't know what to do.
Have Children's Services been involved in any of this?
We don't know. And with the history with the county Children's Services, they don't like my family.
Wait a minute. You're saying that Child Protective Services doesn't like your family?
Right, because we got involved with another niece that we were taking care of, and the county worker didn't like it because I stood up to him, and because he kept playing yo-yo with my niece. And he went to the courts and said that, and this was over 20 years ago, saying I wasn't a good housekeeper. Hmm. So needs to say he removed my niece because of all the bickering between another sister.
Here's what I would suggest you do.
Yes.
Contact a good family law attorney. Or even if you wish, you contact anonymously the folks is at Child Protective Services, and you describe the situation and you say, you know, what are my obligations here? What do I need to do
legally to protect the children, and they may say, well, no, nothing. So at this point, you don't have to do anything.
Okay.
You don't know when this guy's getting out of prison, do you?
No, I do not.
And you don't even know what his term is.
No, I don't know anything right now. All I know is his name. That's it.
Would your sister tell you?
Tell me what his actual charges are, you mean?
Charges and release date.
Oh, well, I'm assuming it would probably be a public record. I mean, I would think I could find that out, but...
Okay, I'm not sure exactly how they'll handle that.
I mean, I was able to go in there and find what, you know, because where he is a felon, I was able to find out what he was in prison for.
And he was charged and convicted with sexual abuse of a minor.
Yes.
Ouch. I think you need some local guidance.
And Chrissy, he is currently in there right now for non-compliant.
I think you need some local guidance in terms of describe the situation to the local authorities and say, this is what's going on. Now, your sister is living with you?
No.
Okay, you got the kids.
No, she and one, this is sad because we're taking care of the older four kids because they all go to school together. The youngest one is still with her, and she is staying with a friend and his wife, which is related to her her now husband.
This has been a very erratic kind of life on your sister's part, hasn't it? All over the place.
Yes, okay. And ours too, because it's been nothing but a soap opera.
Hmm. Yeah, I think you better talk to either a good family law attorney, find out what your obligations are, or even call. You can call Child Protective Services. You don't have to reveal yourself. You can say, here's the situation. What would you suggest?
Okay.
Give me guidance on this.
Okay.
Wow, that's okay. Tricky. And
and the thing is, her second husband and her are going for custody of the three youngest ones.
The guy that's in jail with the sex offenses.
No, the father of her second husband, who is the father of the younger three children. She's married again.
See, these are situations in a lot of respects there's no answer to. No simple answer. Because there's so many variables, so many his, mine, ours, yours, theirs, this, that, the other. So as a result, to say, okay, well, Chrissy, here's what you do. First of all, I would be out of line doing that. Secondly, the best advice I can give you is check it out with local authorities. Good luck to you, dear. Good luck. Hang in.
I appreciate that.
Right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye. When I come back from the break, I'm going to Tanya from Holly, Minnesota. You're getting close to Christmas, so that's cool. We're going to have a Holly, Minnesota thing here. What do I got here? I got about a minute. All right, I can do the TV show push. Living Right with Dr. Ray, taping last four episodes of season number 9 here in northeastern Ohio, Walsh University, North Canton, November 18 to 19, 5 and 7 o'clock both nights. You don't have to remember all this because it's on my website. The guest, a special guest on Monday night, two shows, Father Leo Petalinghug. You may know him from EWTN. He cooks, and he is a man of great faith, and he blends the two, faith instruction, faith guidance with food. And I will be there to guide him along as he slips and stumbles, trying to cook well, and I'm looking over his shoulder, making sure he's doing it okay. We'd love to have you in the audience. Bigger the audience, the better. You can bring kids. We have no age limit, all the way down to baby, all the way up. We had a 95-year-old once. That's right. So we welcome everyone. Audience is an integral part of the show. A lot of fun. We have a lot of humor, a lot of bits, a lot of things, hopefully to entertain you. Go to drray.com, drray.com, and I think there's going to be a pop-up there. Or if you just go to drray/tickets. You don't need tickets. All you have to do is contact the people and say, yes, we got 6 people coming. Or yes, my rosary group's coming. Or yes, our Bible study's coming. We love big groups. Load it up. That'd be great.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
You as a parent apply Galatians 5, is watch your kids as they move into the religious space, if you want to put it that way. I, you know, made noises about the priesthood on and off when I was a little kid. My parents were never oppressive about it. They never pressed me in that direction, but they would quietly indicate an openness to that, or like, that's a good thing. I remember I still have it upstairs, a Bible that my parents got me for Christmas in 1969. I'm a little kid. And it's, you know, from mom and dad to Bob, Christmas 1969. They knew, they sensed I was kind of interested in religious things. So I would say that, don't be pushy, of course, but don't go the other direction. That's, my generation got too much of that, was, back off. Who am I to tell you what to do? You make up your mind. No, I think gently, quietly, affirming that, yeah, that's a good thing you're thinking about. And you should be open to that.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
What does the Eighth Commandment demand of us? The Catholic Catechism says this commandment forbids misrepresenting the truth in our relations with others. This derives from the vocation of holy people to bear witness to their God who is truth and who wills the truth. Offenses against the truth, either by word or deed, are fundamental infidelities to God and thus undermine the foundation of our covenant with Him. The Old Testament tells us God is the source of all truth. His word is truth, as is His law. Jesus Christ is the whole of God's truth made manifest. To follow Christ is to live in the spirit of truth, says the Catechism. Jesus taught His disciples the unequivocal nature of truth when He instructed them, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything more is from the evil one." This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Good to have you with me. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi, my producer man, Andrew Krucek, and my call screamer, Eric Dumont. Sometimes they overlap. Sometimes Andrew picks up the phone when it rings too loud. Wakes him up from the program. By the way, I am on here, especially in the Central Time Zone, during lunch, which means that I work during my lunch period. For you, I'll do it. The number to get onto the program, 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL. If you have a question about something in your life, and apparently Tanya does, from Holly, Minnesota, or it's either Holly from Tanya, Minnesota. I'm not sure, but above here on the screen, it says, any recommendations for books? Now, when that question starts out like that, I jump all over it, because this is a chance for me to make some side money when I say, well, now that you asked about my books indirectly. Hi, Tanya.
Hi, Dr. Ray.
Are you asking, dear, about before adoption or after having adopted?
Well, my husband and I are kind of filling out paperwork and getting things ready to become foster care, a foster care home. I think what we'd really like to do is foster to adopt and have the children in our own home and, you know, keep them. But we're kind of like out of water, because all my siblings can have their own children, so we're kind of the first ones to kind of forge ahead in this direction. And so just kind of wondering what are good things for us to read, become aware of, so we can basically set ourselves up for success so that the kids can do well.
Well, I think you've taken the first step towards setting yourself up for success by calling me. I think so. Yeah, I could be. That could be the only step you need. I don't know. about 5 years ago, maybe it's 7 years ago now, I wrote a book called Adoption, Choosing It, Living It, Loving It. It contains the most common questions I get from prospective adoptive parents. What about this? What about that? What about reactive attachment disorder? When do we tell them? What about foster to adopt, you know, or as I call it, lease with option to buy? What do I do if my grandmother doesn't accept this? How about if the child looks at me one day and says, I don't have to listen to you, you're not my mom, kind of thing.
So I talk about, in about half of the book, why you can get past anything that is nerve-wracking or unsettling you about all this. Because you're going to get people that are going to come to you, Tanya, and they're going to say, well, have you thought about this? Well, what if this? Okay, so that's, you know, I hear you giggling, so it's already probably happened. So given all that, I've got the book for you. I've got the perfect book for you. It's on my website. It's called Adoption, Choosing It, Living It, Loving It. It is probably, in my opinion, the most nitty-gritty adoption book out there. A lot of them tend to be kind of psychobabble, a little syrupy maybe. Don't address issues of a faithful parent who is motivated in part, at least by their faith. As a matter of fact, one of the questions in the book comes from a mother who said, I read that you should never adopt to rescue a child. So I tore that one apart. I just ripped that one to shreds. Okay.
No.
Yeah, it's that kind of stuff. So
right.
If you go there, hopefully, and the books are all signed. Now, let me give you just a few pointers here. I don't want this to be a commercial for a book. Don't like doing that, but about every 12 minutes. at this point, the best advice I could give you, and don't take this in a scary way, know what you're getting into. And I don't mean that to say don't do it. I mean it to say that the parenting journey perhaps could be a little bumpier. You know, these are kids who have had been pretty good shortchanged in their earlier life. And maybe in the womb they've been drug or alcohol exposed. So because of that, they could take longer to socialize, longer to moralize. And as long as you know that, you're fine. You're not expecting magic in the first year or two because you're a wonderful, loving parent who's going to give them a stable home and a good religious background, and then that'll make everything better by the time they're 12. I don't know. I mean, some kids it does, but not always. So, and I would also think, Tanya, that you are ready for that because if you sat through any of those adoption training sessions, they scare the bejeebers out of you, don't they?
We haven't made it that far yet, but we have contacted a couple of different people who've done it, and we sat down and talked with them, and yeah, it's interesting.
Well, they make it seem like you're going to be asleep because they're going to take a chainsaw while you're asleep. You know, this kid's going to set the house on fire while you're laying there. So just remember that to cover up the evidence. And I talk about that in the adoption book, too. I say, why would they do this? Why would they scare off potential foster parents or foster to adopt parents? Why would you do this? What's their purpose? And I answer that question. Okay. So there you are, my dear. Anything else?
No, that'll do it. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You are welcome. Hey, you go, girl. We need... Okay, let me just give you a couple of scripture quotes. You may already know them. The first one is from the letter of James, where he says, and this is faith that is pure and undefiled before the Lord, that we take care of the widows and the orphans in their distress. And then Jesus says in the Gospels, whoever welcomes a little one like this in my name welcomes me. So that's what you're doing, girl. Okay.
Very good. Thank you.
All right, honey. Bye.
Bye-bye.
When we come back, we will go to Regina. Queen means queen. And if we have a battle on the lines, like sometimes we have a Mary and then sometimes we have a Regina. And you know, it's because 50-50 where you got to go. I tried to look it up in canon law that you have to take a Mary first. But then Regina, that's close. You know, I was at a Bible study last night from Brant Petrie and video. he was talking about Mary, Queen of Heaven, and all the scriptural support for that, which really gives non-Catholics a pause or even occasion to attack the Catholic religion, because they just don't understand, you know, Queen of Heaven, come on, what are you doing, making her equal to Christ? Nothing of the sort, but there is plenty, plenty of traditional evidence in the Jewish roots and scripture for why Mary has been called Queen of Heaven. But we'll get to that. Regina is up there, so you be patient, Regina. 877-573-7825, 877-57 equal. Always can call toward the end of the show. Doesn't mean there's all kinds of people in front of you, so you'll never get on. It doesn't mean that. We take the calls in various order.
The doctor is in. What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
In July of this year, the California Court of Appeals handed down an important decision in a case we were litigating on behalf of our pro-life clients. The three-judge panel unanimously ruled in our favor, holding that a restriction on pro-life signs because they were grisly or gruesome violated the liberty of speech clause of the California Constitution. At issue was whether the Irvine Company's speech restriction prohibiting grisly and gruesome imagery as applied to restrict our clients' abortion-related imagery violates the free speech provision of the California Constitution. Unlike the First Amendment, which only applies to state action, under the California Constitution, large shopping malls are considered public forums for free speech, and private entities, such as the Irvine Company, may be liable for violating California's liberty of speech clause. The trial court upheld the Irvine Company's speech restriction, but the California Court of Appeals reversed, holding that the challenge restriction is content-based and does not survive strict scrutiny review. This is a huge and important victory for the right to free speech. Indeed, there is hope for the free speech rights of conservatives when a California appellate court upholds the right of a pro-life organization to display abortion imagery in large private shopping centers under the California Constitution. I'm Robert Buse, co-founder and senior counsel for the American Freedom Law Center, bringing you this Faith and Freedom Minute. You can learn more about the American Freedom Law Center and its fight for your faith and freedom by visiting our website and liking us on Facebook.
I want to do everything I can to instruct you on the finer points of positive living. And giving that trick-or-treat's coming up pretty soon, I'm going to do a monologue on how to maximize efficiency in the 2 hours you have in trick-or-treating. I mean, in the old days, you could go three nights, which is what we did. It was raw culinary and caloric greed, sugar greed. However, now most places it's 2 hours. I have a friend. He and his wife go to our parish, and they have six children. The older kids don't trick-or-treat anymore. I don't know why they quit just because they're in high school. Come on. But he has three younger ones. And last year we had a rather disappointing situation with one of his sons. It was probably, according to my friend, his dad, the son's dad, who the little guy was about six. My friend was talking to me. I had to talk him down. I had to talk him down off the ledge because he kept saying, where did I go wrong? Where did I go wrong? What did we do? His little guy, about 35, 40 minutes into trick-or-treating, and we're just picking up the pace, said, I'm good. I think I have enough candy. This is enough for me. I'm going to go home. I looked at my friend. I said, What? What's he saying? What is wrong with this kid? Therapy. Something. My friend just shook his head. Well, I asked him, I sent him a text. I said, where are we going this year? When is it? He said, that's October 27th, 3 to 5. And then he said, I'm having the young kids take private lessons to build up leg strength. They're doing laps down and back from Jodine's house. Now, Jodine, you may... Well, nobody's going to remember a year ago, but this is, she is the finest trick-or-treat house I have ever come across in all my years of trick-or-treating. I mean, she's giving out candy bars, two and three at a time, that are worth about $30 a piece. And then, if you go down to the end of her driveway and you walk back up, she gives you more. It's incredible. So I said to him, no Timmy. Timmy's the son who last year at age six said, I've had enough. And he said, we have to balance how much candy he can get us with how much he will slow us down. It might be a game time decision. Great. Regina, how are you, dear?
Oh, a little nervous to talk to you, Dr.
Oh, really, I tell you what, I am nervous to talk to you. I'm nervous to talk to you because you know why? I'll tell you why. Because when I used to talk to girls, I was always nervous. And it's leftover. It is.
Okay. Oh, good. Well, my heart's pretty heavy here. I've been married almost 30 years. My husband and I practiced natural family planning. We didn't start out that way, but thank goodness. By the grace of God, we went through the classes and we took them. And I know my husband was not thrilled about it. We have four children from ages 27 to 21. And he's now stating that he has a right to give his opinion, which, of course, that's true. And he's going to let them know that he doesn't believe in it and that they should use birth control. And I have raised these kids from the time they were old enough to know that this is a part of the deposit of the faith. It's a beautiful thing. The thing it brings your marriage is very close together. You're working together. How detrimental birth control is to females and to the sacrament of marriage. But they are very influenced by their dad. And
so I don't think they're influenced by their dad, Regina.
You don't think so?
Uh-uh. I think they're influenced by what they want to do.
Okay.
And their attitude, like so many young people, even those raised in the faith, is, why should I have to do that? I don't want to do that. I think you answered part of your question, which is, how do I talk to them about this? Well, you already have, right? You've said all the things. Okay. Now, are you thinking that they're going to do what they want to do? Are they married?
No, none of them are married.
Okay. Well, then, so right now, it's kind of an academic question. Do you know where they stand on this? Does one of them agree with you? Two of them? None of them? Four of them? Where are they?
It's one of those things where they stay silent. You know, where they may know it to be true and the right thing to do, but they're thinking, I can't make assumptions, but that I don't want to have, you know, a bunch of, you know, four kids or five kids. And I've explained to them, you know, look, if you do it and you practice it correctly, you know, the rate of the percentage of chances that you would become pregnant during a time when you can't is lower than with the birth control pill.
You have given them everything you understand to be reasons for the church's teaching on this. You have, right? No question. And they just stare at you. They don't say much. They don't ask any questions. They just look at you, right?
Essentially, you know, they just give me the respect of listening. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you have spoken.
Go ahead.
You have spoken. And the mistake would be for you to think, if I keep speaking and keep speaking and keep speaking, they're going to agree. I think that's a mistake.
Yeah.
All right.
True.
You have told them, I assume. Are they pro-life?
Absolutely.
All right.
100%.
then I assume you have told them that in an unknown percent of cases, the pill can result in killing a very, very new baby? You've told them that?
Yes, absolutely, 100%. I have told them that.
Okay. Then that seems to me to be your strongest rationale to share with them. And if that doesn't move them, and it may not because they're thinking, come on, it's not a new baby, it's just a clump of cells, whatever their thinking is, they're telling you, Mom will be Catholic up to a point. When it becomes really inconvenient, especially in the area of sexual morality, marriage morality. Not sure where we're at with all this, Mom. I think it sounds like your husband is saying, you forced me to do this, and I did it to get along with you. Didn't agree with it. Every step of the way, I didn't agree with it. And I am not going to foist this on my kids. I think that sounds like that's where he's coming from, correct?
Yeah, I don't think I could have put it better, but...
That's because I'm the professional.
Yeah. Well, the other caveat to this that is alarming to me, where I'm sitting across the table from him last night and thinking, I don't know this man. What the heck is wrong with you? Some of the stuff I'm hearing out of his mouth, because I thought he understood his Catholic faith better as I practiced it with him, was to say, well, things are changing. I can make my own choices. I said, but that's not going to change. I said, the magisterium has no power to change that. You know, there's not going to be female priests. There's not going to be this. Oh, no, you know, I see things changing. And I'm thinking to myself, fake news. This is like religious fake news. I said, no, you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong. And I said, why would you want to put our daughters in danger of taking these chemicals? I said, you know the rate of breast cancer? And then it turns into, oh, so you're saying that...
So you're telling me I don't care about our kids. You're telling me I don't love my daughters.
Yeah, that's, exactly. Yeah. And it's actually what I care about are their souls.
Well, at this
and
point, this is one...
This, have a parent tell
my dear,
you something
this
like
is
that.
One of the hardest things.
Impact.
It's one of the hardest things of being a faithful parent, watching a very high percentage of our young adults simply leave the moral teaching that they were raised with. It's everywhere. It is epidemic. It sounds like you've done a wonderful job explaining to the kids. And if the abortifacient aspect of this, in other words, killing a three-cell baby, doesn't move them, I don't know what will. So at this point, I would suggest don't make this an ongoing source of friction between you and them. Don't do that anymore. You've explained it. They've lived with you for all these years. They know where you're at. And I believe they're thinking, Dad is much more reasonable about this. Dad is much more with the world about this. Dad really is the one. Mom's kind of a religious, well, I don't want to say a religious nut, but she's sort of a religious throwback. And the world is passing Mom by. I would be my guess. You have done well, and you have explained it. And at this point, don't get hostile towards your husband, because I think probably all along he kept his objections to himself. All along, I see this all the time.
Oh, I knew all along that he. Yeah. I just could see him getting more bitter and brooding, which is sad, because it's almost to say that, you know, those two extra kids weren't part of my plan. You know, the bigger your family.
That's right. You go to the two young ones and say, hey, you know what? Dad didn't really want you. No, I'm teasing. Don't ever say that. But I know.
Oh, gosh,
but
I would never.
I know.
And
you can't.
He loves his children. You know how that is. You love them. I mean, you might end up with more, but you love them.
Regina, one final question for you, because I'm way past break, dear. Are you nervous? Are you nervous anymore?
No.
See?
I feel like he's talking to you.
Told
you.
You're welcome, sweetheart. I got to run. Thanks for the call. This is Dr. Ray. I'll be right back.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria mutual funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds.
You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
Let us strive to know the Lord. Quick question to you and me right now. Is that what you and I are doing every single day? When you and I wake up every day, do we strive to know Jesus or not? In the Old Testament, in the same book of Hosea, a little bit later on, it's in chapter 14, the Lord says through the prophet, "My people perish." Or in another translation, "My people are being destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." Not a lack of data. We got tons of data. Not a lack of information. We got a lot of information. Not just about things that are happening in the world. We got a lot of data, a lot of knowledge, a lot of information about God, but not a lot of intimacy with God. Not a lot of relationship with God. Not a lot of friendship. That's the cry of God's heart. God wants to give himself to us in the incredible gift of friendship, and we're not taking advantage of it.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
Thanks for joining me here on The Doctor Is In, Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock. I actually get paid for doing this. Sitting here in a reclining kind of chair in a little studio room with the window open. It's beautiful outside, about 55. Fan on. Little apple cider, you know, for the mood genre of the time. I don't know. I think I'm spoiled. I don't have time for another call. I got just a couple minutes, so I want to comment on a couple of things, which I forgot what they were, but it'll come back to me. I had a woman come into my office, and she was not the only one, but she told me her husband wants out of the marriage, wants to leave. They had 6 kids, ages, I don't know, 14 to 24, somewhere in there. He wanted out. She said to me, I thought he was on the same wavelength as I was in terms of children, in terms of the faith. He went to church with me, and he never really voiced any objections to our NFP or anything like that. And now it's as though he lived a semi lie. And said, I went out. I went along, and I've gone along long enough. Now, fortunately, that's not the norm. That's the exception in those kinds of marriages. Those faith-filled marriages are genuine. But it does happen. And I think our previous caller, Regina, what she was facing. Now, she didn't give any indication her husband wants to leave. But what he seems to be saying is, for the most part, I don't buy into the Catholic thing that we've practiced and done the last 30 years of our marriage. I don't buy it. And given that there can be confusion on where the church is on some of these things, and it shouldn't be confusion because certain teaching of the church can't be changed, nevertheless, the certain percentage of the laity are saying, no, church is going to change the stance on that. That they're coming around, they're learning, getting rid of that medieval stuff. Well, that's not going to happen. However, there's enough dust in the air on some of these things that someone like her husband can grab it and say, hey, it ain't just me. It's the church. And the way you believe is old stuff. That's the way it is. I suspect she's got to really watch herself because this could be a focal point of great distance in her marriage. She's going to have to pick and choose when to just shut up and when to not push it and just live her faith as quietly as she can and as best she can and as charitably as she can, because that's the only way that she's going to soften her husband up. It just sounds like he's digging his heels in from what little she's discussed. And I wouldn't doubt that all the kids being in their 20s would be more tempted to think like dad than mom on this, because mom is clearly countercultural. Thanks for joining me here. I hope to see you tonight at Holy Family in Stowe and tomorrow in Rochester. Go to the website, give you the details. I'm Dr. Ray. Where's that music, Andrew? Should be coming. There it is. I wondered where it was. My clock is way off. Walk with God. Hold your children tightly by the hand.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.